come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. This guy is Paul Dottino. I am John Schmelk with you for the next 60 minutes to talk Giants football. 201-939-4513. That's the telephone number to join the conversation, or you can check us out on Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat. We will monitor and converse with you there as well. And Paul, that, my friend, was our last weekend with no football until next February. How you feeling?
Yippee! Oh, thank you. Thank you. The calendar finally reads NFL training camp. The Giants, of course, reporting on Thursday. And, John, it's not a moment too soon. It's really not. Look, we've had a great time the last few weeks on this show of previewing the Giants' opponents, looking at their schedule. And, you know, that's been really fun. And we appreciate all the different media guys around the league participating.
But really, we were just filling some time.
Well, yeah, because
there's now, nothing going on.
Now, dinner is served, everybody. We're getting down to it.
And we'll be eating some of that dinner with Art Stapleton of The Record. He'll be joining us at 12:30 to help us preview the Giants. And, Paul, obviously we'll be preparing for training camp all week long. You mentioned they report on Thursday, first practice Friday. Then they practice Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. So, of course, if you want to come out to practice training camp, by the way, go to Giants.com. They got the full schedule. It's free and open to the public. Activities for the kids, autographs, Giants alumni, you name it. It'll be here. It's a lot of fun. So come on down to East Rutherford at the Quest Diagnostics Training Center as training camp begins. First practice on Friday, practice in the afternoon, and then they'll come in the later on in the afternoon, later on in camp. All right, Paul, let's get right to it here. Where I want to go with camp this particular day is this. When it comes to the season and camp in general, what's the one thing that you are most concerned about with this Giants team that you think has to get figured out and be right for this team to be successful this year? Because I think there are a couple interesting ways you can go with this.
Well, there are some ways you can go, but you know me, John. I'm not going to change. I'm old school. True and true and true and true. It's still going to start in the trenches for me. The Giants still need to figure out exactly where this offensive line stands before they go into week one against the Dallas Cowboys. They've got several weeks of training to figure it out. They've got four preseason games to figure it out.
Which will be much more important, by the way.
Eric Flowers, it's time to go, baby. Jump into the deep end of the pool because they got to coach him up and get him ready for the Cowboys. There is no waiting period for him. He's got to be ready. And on the other side, we got to find out if Newhouse has what it takes after several years in this league. This is his third stop now, John. He's got to show that he is a capable guy handling that job. And those two things, and it's funny because here I am worried about those two issues. Richburg is going back to center after a rookie season at guard that was, you know, had a lot of bumps in it. Let's not kid ourselves. He's going back to his original position. We're all assuming that he's going to be as smooth as butter, but we don't know. The transition could take a little while for him. You're looking at Jeff Schwartz, who missed most of last year because of injury.
And two serious injuries, by the way. Didn't play.
He didn't have a little gumboil or something. I mean, he was
yeah,
really
exactly.
hurt. So, you know, we're all assuming he's going to be okay. And, boom, plug him in at one of the guard spots and everything's beautiful. Justin Pugh is converting from a position to play left guard. We're all assuming that that's going to be nice and smooth and the transition isn't going to cause him trouble. John, the bottom line is you could have a question about every single one of the Giants' five offensive line spots.
Well, here's why.
Every one of them.
There is not one player playing the same position on the Giants' offensive line that they played last year. Not a one. Jeff Schwartz was in a right guard last year. He's going to be a right guard this year. Pugh was obviously a tackle moving into guard. Richburg goes from guard to center. And then obviously Newhouse and Flowers are new players. So, and I will not for a second argue or debate with you on how important the offensive line is and it playing better. It's important, no debate. And offensively, if there's one thing you worry about, it's the offensive line, no questions asked. But, B-U-T, all capital letters. To me, the key to this whole Giants team this year, Paul, is going to be how much is the Giants defense going to improve in 2015? Because if this Giant defense, when all is said and done at the end of the year, is sitting in the rankings where it was last year or the year before, what happens in the offensive line ain't going to matter one darn bit. The defense has to improve. And here's where it's going to have to improve. I think the corners, assuming Dominique Rodgers, Kamani, and Prince Amukamara stay healthy, I think they'll be okay there. Even though they don't really, they have Tremaine McBride, but the rest of the DBs you're figuring out. That's fine. At corner now, mind you. Here's my two spots, and I'm really having trouble figuring out which one I'm more worried about. I got to be honest with you. To me, there's a big concern at the safety spot, only because we don't know what we have. You have young players, you think they're talented, you think they can perform on the NFL level, and I'm on board with all those projections. But until you see it, you don't know. And with the way the NFL works now, Paul, where is all the damage done in the passing game down the field? It's done in the middle of the field. Middle of the field, middle of the field, middle of the field. Whether it's a tight end, the slot receiver, or guys doing deep crosses into the middle, it's done in the middle of the field. And your safeties have to be able to not just run sideline to sideline. They need to see things before they happen. They need to take the correct angles, and they need to make tackles, and they need to be able to be disciplined enough to not let anybody get behind them while they're playing that middle of the field. All those things are very, very difficult. And the Giants have a rookie, a second-year player, a second-year player and a third-year player that are right now primarily responsible for doing all those very important things. And by the way, I didn't even mention getting the secondary into the correct formations and into the right plays before the snap is even done. So, to me, making sure you have the right guys in there at safety and they can get the job done is going to be very important. Because when we talked in one of our videos, and I think it aired last week, what was the most important statistic that the Giants had to improve on last year heading into this year? And you said it was the running game. I completely agree. My statistic was not allowing as many big plays on defense. And when you talk about allowing big plays on defense, a lot of that comes down to the safety position. To the last line of defense, you let them get behind you, you're not in the right spot, that's how big plays happen. So to me, when I head into this season with the way passing attacks are in the NFL, knowing the Giants' defense has to be better this year, I'm looking at the safety position on defense. And with the whole unknown quantity of Jason Pierre-Paul connected to the safety spot, you got to get pressure on the quarterback, right? That would be my number two on the defensive side of the ball. And there you have it.
And this is why nobody out there can pick the Giants to be the favorite to win the division. Because much like every other team in the NFC East, there is more than one significant question on the roster.
And again, the Giants are not alone in that. The Eagles have significant questions. The Cowboys have significant questions. The Redskins, every team in the NFL, by the way, including your defending Super Bowl champion New England Patriots, have a lot of questions on their roster.
And so everybody's going to be looking at everybody else over the course of the camps and the preseason, trying to figure out, okay, who's got this stuff solidified by week one? But the truth of the matter is, and I think this is the case for all four teams in the division, I don't think any of these teams are going to hit their stride coming out of the gate. I think it's going to take at least a month or two before any team in the NFC East shows what they really are.
I think your best shot of it is Dallas, only because they're returning a lot of their same guys. They haven't had quite as much turnover as the Eagles or the Giants.
Here's not what I would say. DeMarco Murray's gone, and they relied so much on him on offense last year.
That's the only part that's different, though.
Pass rush-wise, they still have no idea where their pass rush is coming from, and Hardy's going to miss a month.
But they didn't know that last year either. You're bringing back most of the same personnel.
That is true. That is true.
Again, I'm not telling you their defense is going to be good. I'm just telling you I think we have a better idea of what the Cowboys are, good or bad, than we do the other three teams in the division.
That may be possible by a smidgen. I still don't think without a bona fide pass rush. And, of course, like you said, they didn't have one going into last year either. But that doesn't mean it's settled. I mean, it's still not.
Well, yeah, but we know that they don't. I mean, it's not like you're sitting there and you're relying. They won 12 games last year without a pass rush. And I'm not saying they can win 12 games again this year without one. I don't think they can.
Right.
But you're right. Do we know what that pass rush is going to be? But I do think we know what the let me put it this way. We know what the strengths and weaknesses of that Cowboys team is.
Yeah.
We know how they're going to play. We know how they're going to try and play. Now, will they be as effective without DeMarco Murray? Probably not. But I think we know what they are. They're going to be a good offensive team that runs the ball, gets the ball down the field to Dez Bryant, and defensively, they're going to struggle.
There are fewer variables going into the Dallas season than with the other three teams. The question is, of the questions that are still on the Dallas team, how will they be answered?
That's a very fair question. Absolutely right.
You know?
Absolutely
right. Again, that's what makes the NFC East wide open. Look, I've been doing this so long, and I'll tell you something, folks. Gone are the days. Of course, it's because of free agency and the salary cap and everything they've done to this league to create parity.
1994, 1995, that was basically the end of it.
Where you knew, going in, you know, Bill Parcells knew during those late 80s, he was going to have a team that was going to contend for the division title. He knew that. Now it was a matter of, are they going to win 9, 10, 11, or 12? And how many of the other teams going to win? But they're going to do that. And is it going to be good enough or not? Remember, 1 year, 10 wins didn't get them into the playoffs. That's not the case anymore. Parity has destroyed all of those feelings and all of those thoughts and all of those obvious predictions that you could make. So anyway, John, I'm still going with the O-line. I'll be looking at every one of those five starters, every single snap that I can possibly get a glimpse at them. We talked last week when we were in here, 2 weeks ago, whenever it was, about the fact that everyone's going to want to see what Victor Cruz is doing. Everyone's going to want to see if Odell Beckham is even out there practicing. I mean, again, they're going to be cautious with the hammies, and I get it, and there's no sense in him busting a gut in August when they need him in September.
But
I get that. You'd still like to see him.
Yes, you would.
We all would.
Absolutely.
We all would.
But I think, you know, and then the first day of camp, the couple questions with the answer to is Beckham ready? Is Cruz ready? And you'll go from there. I think those are the two big questions you're looking at.
Yeah.
And frankly, how much is Jeff Schwartz going to go right away? Because he didn't do everything at the end of spring. He was in and out. Even in minicamp, he rotated starting snaps with John Jerry and Brandon Mosley.
Which, once again, as I've said in each of the last two summers, and I'm going to say it again today, John, mark it down if you like on your wall.
Oh, I like putting stuff.
The Giants do not have all of their starters in camp right now.
Okay.
Another they will prediction. Have.
I'm not sure how often that's actually come true, but you always do say that.
I've felt it the last 3 years.
I know you have.
I have felt it the last 3 years.
Yes,
and I believe that again this year. And, you know, whether or not it comes down to the final week leading into Dallas and something happens there, I don't know. But for the last 3 years, I have felt strongly that the Giants were not opening with their 53 when camp began. And I feel that way.
Let's get to the calls. We got 15 minutes before Art Stapleton. Then we'll take your calls after him as well. What do you think is your biggest worry for the Giants heading into camp? What are you keeping an eye on? And what's your concern for the 2015 season? What's the most important thing for this team to figure out in order to be division champions and Super Bowl contenders? 201-939-4513. John Schmuck, Paul Dottino with you. Big Blue Kickoff Live, Art Stapleton at 1230. Until then, your calls. Alex in Los Angeles, California has been waiting the longest. Alex, what's going on, pal?
Hey, what's up?
Hi, Alex.
So I'm calling. Obviously, we don't know anything about like how defensive line's going to be or with Jason Pierre-Paul. But I'm calling in just to ask about like, can you make a prediction of when he's going to come out socially or come back to the facility? Just to, you know, like when he's in playing mode. Like, do you think it's going to be as late as maybe like week four, or is he going to come in earlier, because he wants to get paid, obviously, so he's not going to come in right now.
Well, Alex,
but do you have any idea?
Alex, here's the trick. You know, any date me or Paul give you is literally going to be a close our eyes, point our finger out of left field guess. We don't know anything. Quite frankly, I think the Giants are still working on, you know, not a ton of information right now. JPP and his camp have been very close-mouthed. And here's the bottom line. He is going to come in. And he is going to sign that franchise tender offer when he is ready. That could be in a week. That could be in 3 weeks. That could be a month. It could be in 2 months. It could be in 2.5 months. Everyone here wants it to be earlier rather than later. The earlier he's in this building, the better it is for everybody. But the Giants cannot force him to come in and do that. It's on Jason Pierre-Paul. He has some sort of injury on his hand. When he's ready to play with it and wants to come in and play with it, he'll come in, and the Giants anxiously await his arrival.
I got a question for you. Do you want to be a part of management or part of an agency? Because that's the kind of question that a youngster usually does not ask.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent question.
Yeah.
Is that
manager,
all?
Manager, probably.
Oh, okay. He wants to be in management. There you go, Paul.
Nice to talk to you.
Thank you, Alex. Have a good one, buddy.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
Hey, you too. You're welcome.
Good very, very grown-up question from the youngster.
Very astute.
I mean,
but yeah, look, that's the magic question everyone wants the answer to. And guys, I wish I can give you an educated answer.
Really?
I have no clue.
Here's the best way to approach this.
And by the way, it's not like there are any reports out there either that are saying JPP's expected now. You haven't seen one national reporter.
No.
You haven't seen one beat reporter. You haven't seen a crazy guy in the street running around saying when JPP's going to be back. Nobody knows.
I think the best way to approach this, folks, if you're a Giants fan out there, is just for the moment, push him to the side, leave him out of the equation, and say, hey, the Giants have a bunch of defensive ends on this roster between Selvey and Moore and Double O and Ayers and Kerry Wynn. They've got five guys who all have legitimate NFL make-it grades on them. And all five of those guys can play in this league, and they can rotate, and they can do whatever it is that they need to do, whatever Spags wants them to do. So why don't you think about it this way? For the time being, watch those five guys.
Yep.
Come out to practice. See what you see. Watch how they're utilized. Watch which side they're playing. And for the moment, just say, hey, let's look and evaluate those guys and see how good they are. And see what you think the Giants can do based on what those guys do on the field. And then when JPP finally decides to come in, that's another whole story for another time. But don't even think about him for the time being.
I think what you almost have to do is treat him like you would William Beatty. You're going for what you have, and when Beatty gets back or whenever JPP gets here, that's a bonus. And that's going to help you, and that's fantastic. But you have to approach it as though he's not going to be here because, frankly, right now, he's not.
I think that's absolutely true, and if you're Spags, okay, you have to go along the same assumption and say these are the five defensive ends I have, and let's see what we can do with them, and if we need to create more pass rush with other guys or other spots on the team, whether it be a safety blitz or a slot blitz or a linebacker coming, then you start fussing with that, but that's the way it's got to be. You can't just sit still and say, well, we wonder when he's going to come here and we'll worry about how we're going to deal with it when he gets it. No. Just forget it for now. Move ahead.
And by the way, hopefully come, I guess it's Friday, when we first hear from Giants management, it'll be the first time anyone's spoken that represents the Giants about the Jason Pierre-Paul situation.
Tom won't talk on Thursday?
I don't think anybody has availability on Thursdays.
No, we will on this Thursday, yeah. The conditioning drills, we do get media.
Oh, you get Tom. So you're right. Tom will talk on Thursday.
This
media
event.
The first time we get a live comment from the Giants on the situation. So hopefully once we get to Thursday, we'll be able to shed a little bit more light on the situation because right now there's a whole lot of darkness.
But that's late in the day, John.
Correct.
I think it's
4:40. So you won't have word until later in the afternoon. Right. And then obviously on Friday's show, we'll talk about that a little bit. All right, folks, here's the deal. I got 10 minutes before Art Stapleton. I got four callers. I'm going to try to get you all in so you're not waiting past Art.
That's a good move.
We'll probably take for about 10 minutes, okay? Let's go to Tyrone of Maryland first. Tyrone, what's going on, pal?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Going great, T. How are you?
I'm doing good. Real quick, I just wanted to chime in on the last conversation that you guys had with the little guy. So far gone are the times where players display for the love of the game. You know, it's more so about that dollar bill now than it is about winning rings. I'm so glad that Steve Spagnuolo came back. And that was such a surprise for me, for one. But what I really wanted to talk to you guys about was the running back situation. I wanted to get a perspective from you guys on who you think is going to get the most touches this year between Andre Williams and Rashad Jennings. Now, we know that Shane Vereen is probably going to be a more passing attack than rushing attack. But I wanted to hear from you guys what you think is going to be the possibility between Andre Williams, maybe even starting over Rashad Jennings. Who knows? But I just wanted to get some words from you guys, see what you guys thought.
You know, Tyrone, that's interesting. I think total touches, and I'll answer your question in two separate ways. Total touches, receptions, and carries together, I bet you Jennings and Vereen are going to be pretty close, to be honest with you. If you combine receptions and carries, I bet you they'll get similar touches. I still think Jennings maybe might have a little bit more. But I think Andre Williams, in my opinion, will be third in that race, Tyrone. I don't think Williams is ready to step in for Rashad Jennings. Now, if you want to ask me to, you know, predict how much time Rashad Jennings might miss with an injury, and that will allow Andre Williams to pass him, now that's a distinct possibility, but I can't predict injuries. If all guys are healthy, I think Jennings is one, Vereen is a really, really, really close second, and then Andre Williams is I guess I'll be fair enough to call him a distant third, if they're all healthy. Now, Jennings has an injury history. We'll see if that changes this year. If he gets hurt, then I think Williams could easily lead this team in touches this year.
Yeah, I think that that the whole Williams dynamic is based on the fact that he's a very good touchdown grabber. So, you know, when he gets down inside the 20, inside the 10, inside the 5, the closer they get to the end zone, I think that's where he's going to do the bulk of his work. However, John makes a great point. You just don't know about Rashad Jennings' ability to stay healthy. And I think if he does get hurt, if he's nicked up and misses a week or 2 weeks or a quarter here and a quarter there, here's where I'm going to differ from John. I'm going to say Andre Williams does move in and gets the bulk of those carries if Jennings is on the pines.
I said that. I agree with that.
Oh, I thought you said Vereen's going to get him.
No. I think if Jennings gets hurt, I think Williams will lead the team in touches.
Okay.
Well, he definitely got it last year.
I misunderstood.
When Rashad went down.
Well, yeah. Well, here's the thing.
Thanks for the call, Tyrone. We appreciate it, my man.
The Giants right now, I believe, and I could be wrong with this, and we're going to find out once they start practicing at training camp and we see more of what they've got in store. But I really believe that going in, they are going to try to use a three-pronged attack. I do think that they are going to try to lean certain parts of the playbook on each of the guys. And only if someone were to go down will the other guys start absorbing those pages of the playbook.
Let's go back to the phones. Vincent in Little Falls, New Jersey is up next. Vincent, what's going on, pal? Vincent, going once. Vincent going twice. And Vincent is gone. All right, Vincent, give us a call back. We'll put you back in. Oh, that means extra bonus time for Andrew and Joe before we get to Art Stapleton. See, now they reap the benefits of Vincent hanging up. We'll go to Andrew in Pennsylvania next. Andrew, what's going on?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Good show.
Thanks, man.
I missed the first couple minutes, so forgive me if you already touched on this. I heard you talking about JPP. I'm more concerned with what's going on with this $14.8 million. Is it just like in limbo right now? Like, what's going on with that salary cap? Because I know the Giants don't comment on this, but it seems like the Giants don't really have any money just in case. So what's going to happen with all that money while JPP's unsigned?
No, Andrew, very simple. That money is off the cap and dedicated to Jason Pierre-Paul. When he's ready to come in and sign the deal, he's going to come in on and sign it. Right now, how this will work, let's say in theory, Jason Pierre-Paul never shows up. For some reason that doesn't make any sense, Jason Pierre-Paul doesn't play a snap for the Giants this year. They'll be able to roll that $14.8 million into next year's cap, and they'll get to spend it next year. But for this season, I think it's pretty much dedicated, right? They're not going to be able to repurpose that anywhere else because they can't pull back the tag at this point.
Well, here's the thing. If the Giants are able to do some type of – I really don't want to get into this because there are too many variables.
It's complicated.
It is very complicated. But if the Giants are able to work something out with Jason – at some point during the season that he does come in and does play games, remember, there's a possibility that he could get a prorated salary based on the number of games that he plays.
Well, that is absolutely correct.
And so, therefore, there's a possibility, a real possibility, based on the fact that he's not here yet, that let's say he winds up only playing 8 games.
But at that point, it's
it's only half the 14.8.
But you're not going to get that until after the fact, and it's going to be hard to spend it at that point.
Well, Yeah, but you can push it into next year's.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Correct. That is absolutely correct.
I mean, yes. You will get it. It's just a matter of when.
It's when you can spend it.
But that's, you know, so don't think that the 14-8 is tied up if he's not here. They're not paying him while he's not here, and he only gets paid to play.
Correct.
And that's about the easiest way I can go through this. There are a lot of other machinations that I don't even want to get into.
What else do you got, Andrew?
I was just curious about training camp. I saw the schedule. I'm heading out. But what was I going to say? It doesn't say when there's going to be pads or anything. Do you guys know how many days while they're in MetLife or Quest, whatever, how many days are going to be pads and what days they're going to be?
I have seen it. I don't have it in front of me right now. I believe they're only allowed to be in pads. Oh, boy. How many times during camp they're allowed to be in pads? Once or twice a week maybe? That's it? And they usually don't even put pads on until week two, if I'm not mistaken, right?
I think it's like a half a dozen for the month.
And I don't think they're allowed to even – in the past, the Giants have not put on their pads until probably 5 or 6 days into camp.
The plan also is to go to MetLife once, I believe.
You know what? That I didn't notice.
Yes. I believe there's a one day where they will actually run the practices, the training camp practice.
We didn't do that last year.
We did not. But I do believe that's going to happen once this year. I'm not 100% sure, so please don't quote me on that. But that's a possibility.
Okay, all right. That's all good.
Thanks,
and, Artie, can you guys also see if you can find the information? Are they doing the autographs afterwards by position group and everything?
Yeah, you know what? I don't think that's released, is it? That is not released yet. I think it will be at some point. But as soon as that's out there, I'm sure it'll be on the website. Appreciate the call, Andrew. Thank you, pal.
All right. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Great. All right. We got a couple more minutes real quick. Vincent called us back in Little Falls. Vincent, what's up? Vincent.
Hello. What are the expectations for Landon Collins this year?
I think the expectation is for him to be an effective starter. I don't think it's fair to expect the guy to step in and be a Pro Bowler right away, Vincent, but I think you expect him to come in, be a contributor, not make a lot of mental mistakes, and be a very solid safety back there. Now, look, he's a rookie. He's going to screw up sometimes, but you hope that it's not something that somebody you have to cover up for over the course of the year, that he can hold his own.
All right. Thank you.
I appreciate it.
I love the youngsters playing hooky from summer camp. Calling us up on the show today. This is great.
You can't, by definition, play hooky for summer camp. Summer camp is optional. You play hooky on something you have to go to.
Well, no, your parents send you to summer camp. They expect you to play with the counselors and do your thing.
Instead, they
want to get on their cell phones. They want to watch the Giants mobile app, check out Big Blue Kickoff Live, and call us.
I'm surprised they didn't ask you for any tanning tips during time at
I don't give away those things.
Let's go to Joe in Pennsylvania, then we'll be joined by Art Stapleton from the record, 201-939-4513. Joe, how are you, buddy?
Paul, John, getting all hyped up for the start of the season.
Bring the energy, baby.
Yes. Continuing as you were talking there about being ready for the start of the season, I am concerned. I think besides the offensive line, you know, we have to be very concerned with injuries. Hopefully, you know what I mean, that we can stay pretty healthy. But what I want to ask you is there, like, to win the different phases of the game, like defense, offense, specialty teams, that was one thing you did mention with Dallas that could affect them, too.
That's a good point. They lost Harris.
Good returner there.
Yep, good point.
You know, and coaching. What percentage would you break that down, like, to win them phases of the game, usually to win a game. You know what I mean? Offense, defense, would you go like 35-35 or something like that for offense and defense, and then say 15% for specialty teams and even 15% for coaching? Would you break that down to them phases?
I think it's hard to do that, Joe. Frankly, I think the main part of the coach's job, and I know people probably are thinking, I think I'm crazy for saying this, I say 80 to 85% of the coach's job is done before you even kick the ball off on Sunday. I think it's getting the team ready. I think it's preparation, getting them in the right mindset, having the right priorities, game planning the right way. The actual game management part of it, I mean, maybe 80 to 85 is a little strong, but I think 25, 30% of a coach's work is game day. I think the large majority of it comes Monday through Saturday, to be quite honest with you. Otherwise, I would go, I would say probably, 35% offense, 35% defense, 15% special teams, and then you can put the rest in there however you want.
Yeah. Would you put even like turnovers into a phase, or that would be just be classified with defense?
I would be classified with offense and defense, depending on what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, I just saying, I think we have a better chance of, like, you know, matching up with our specialty teams. Like, I know last year the Eagles were ridiculous. I don't know how many return touchdowns they had at first, you know. So
they had. Let me put it this way, Joe. They had a lot more than they can hope to do this year.
I'm just hoping, like, some of that, this stuff here can overcome maybe, you know, a slow start in either the offense or the defense. And I still think we have the best corners in the league. Now, if our safeties can come around right away with it, you know what I mean? Then our defense, I think, could really gel. And that's what I think it's going to take, too. You know, whose defense is the strongest, because the Eagles, the Cowboys, and the Giants, and even the Redskins all look like they're going to be able to score this year. So it could come down to the different other phases of the game. So that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you, Joe.
Okay, go Giants.
Appreciate it, my friend. All right, 201-939-4513. We will continue to take your calls. But first, we're going to talk to our old buddy Art Stapleton. I feel like I haven't seen Art in a long time. Giants have been off. Nobody's been here at the facility. But we will see Art like a spring chicken on Thursday, ready to go for a long season. And Art, of course, Stapleton covers the Giants for the record. Art, hopefully you enjoyed your vacation, my friend, because it's about to end.
Pretty much gone by the wayside. So it was nice. It was brief, but it's time for some football. And I know there's at least one person in that building right now who would have started it back in April. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But it's good to be with you guys.
Are you talking about Tom Coughlin or Paul Dottino?
The latter. the guy without the two Lombardis.
Yeah. Very, very fair. All right, I'm going to ask you a question that we got from our first caller of the show, a young man out in Los Angeles. And Paul and I, frankly, had no answer for him. And I haven't seen anybody else really write about it or have any clue what the answer is either. So I'm going to throw it out to you and see if you can answer the impossible. When do you think the Giants will see Jason Pierre-Paul for the first time in 2015?
I would say, you know what? I would say that before the end of August, that in some way, shape, or form, Giants brass and Jason Pierre-Paul and his representatives will have to get together at some point and see each other in person to try to hash out some sort of plan for 2015. Because at this point, you know, they're at a stalemate. You know, the Giants can't punish him, per se, financially because he's not under contract, and Jason Pierre-Paul can't gain anything financially because he's refusing to sign the contract. So they have to get together in a room and hash this thing out. If I had to put my, you know, a guess, I'll register a guess and say by the time they get back from Cincinnati, there will be something on the docket that Jason Pierre-Paul and his representatives and the Giants will be in a room and hash these things out. And you know what? Let's say by Buffalo on October 4th, Jason Pierre-Paul will be on the field for the Giants.
All right.
That'll be my prediction. You can put me down in the book.
All right. You're going on the wall, Art. It's done.
Wow. Wow.
I guess Paul does not.
You are incredibly optimistic, but I'm not even going to go there, okay? Because I told the caller earlier, ignore JPP, pretend he does not exist. Tell me what you think about the Giants' five NFL caliber defensive ends that are here right now, and what you think the Giants can expect to get out of those guys. And you know the five I'm talking about,
right? I think. You know, look, there's going to be a lot of attention to DeMontre Moore, and for good reason. You know, the idea of what DeMontre can do, is the potential unfulfilled or untapped? So DeMontre is the X factor here, because I do think that he's the one guy that, as an unproven commodity, can go from, you know, look, here's a guy who we think can be a part-time player, to if somehow DeMontre fulfilled his entire potential, that he could be a starting defensive end in the NFL and really be a pass rush specialist. So I'd like DeMontre to kind of hit his ceiling. I'm a little concerned that, you know, he was away fulfilling his educational obligations at Texas A&M, and he's obviously coming off his shoulder surgery. But I think DeMontre is the X factor. I do like the fact that the Giants can be, quote-unquote, serviceable at defensive end, and unfortunately that becomes a negative. But I think Selvey is very good at setting the edge against the run. I think they need a run stopper at defensive end. As much as I think Colin Jenkins can play there, I don't like that idea. I like Jenkins as a defensive tackle with this group. So I would say I like Selvey on first and second down. I think Robert Ayers has proven that he can play on the outside. But maybe as a pass rusher, he's more effective moving inside the defensive tackle. And you know what? I'm just not sure that, you know, Kerry Wynn is steady. Kerry Wynn reminds me of what maybe a little bit more of what a role Dave Tollefson played back in 2011, a spot guy who can come in. You know, I'm not comparing their talent levels. You know, Tollefson was a reserve guy, you know, a media darling for what he is. I think Kerry Wynn, obviously, you hope that he can be a better player. But that kind of role, I'm not sure if Kerry Wynn is ready to step into a full-time role in a winning defense. And, you know, Double O, your guy's, you know, favorite back from the spring, that's an unknown. I can't imagine that Double O is going to be fitting in here with this team right from jump and saying, you know what, he's going to have a factor. So my take, my long-winded take, is the fact that Selvey and Ayers will be those guys that are kind of mixing and matching along with DeMontre Moore. You know, do they miss JPP? Obviously. But I think they're serviceable. I think they can be okay early on. But, again, DeMontre Moore's growth could turn them from an average to below-average position to all of a sudden an above-average position with a playmaker that's able to really wreak havoc in the backfield.
Mostly agree with you, Art. I think you're selling Kerry Wynn short. That would be the only exception I would take to what you said, because I believe very strongly in him. And quite frankly, during the off season, and I know you guys haven't been here, but John right. and I could tell you, he has been an absolute workaholic during this off season, with a very strong and intense dedication to proving to the coaches that he belongs on the field more. And that's going to go a long way into helping him become a better player.
You know, I'm not doubting that. And look, I like Kerry Wynn as a player. I guess I'm not convinced that in terms of his lack of experience, you can't tell me that, all right, well, you're going to put him on the field and he's going to play, you know, 35, 40 snaps a game, and all of a sudden he's going to be one of the more underrated players in the NFC East. That could happen, but I still need to see a little bit more. I've seen enough of those guys that I've joined on their bandwagons, you know, the Justin Trattows of the world, you know, from North Jersey, who's obviously now in Minnesota, but, you know, that guy who looks good in the spring and, you know, makes some plays in the preseason and then, you know.
Yeah, but all right, hold on now. Trattow was a fringe player, and quite frankly, I thought he was a practice squad player anyway. Kerry Wynn showed what he could do last December against real NFL players. That wasn't exhibition games he was playing in now. And
yeah,
I will tell you this.
I'm just saying, I don't know, you know, if there's a difference between being a guy who stands out on a 6-10 team and that's playing out the
right,
spring.
Right.
And now if the season starts now, you know, and Kerry Wynn is now logging 40 snaps a game, you know, I want to see how he can hold up.
It's a legit question.
A good player. I think there's something to be excited about as far as Kerry Wynn goes. But I just don't know. I wouldn't think that he's ahead of, you know, some of the veterans on this defensive line right away. But, again, we're arguing kind of a similar point. I like Kerry Wynn, don't get me wrong. I still need to see a little bit more to be confident enough that he can handle those kind of reps and that his play wouldn't take a hit or his production wouldn't take a hit.
The only thought I want to add to that, and I'm going to let John take over here, is that I believe if DeMontre Moore does not solidify himself as one of the top three defensive ends in the Giants rotation, and again, that's something that we have to see because he hasn't done it yet. I believe if he leaves that door open, I think Kerry Wynn's going to kick it in. And I think he will take over the third spot in the defensive end rotation if Moore gives him that chance. That's the only thing I would say to Art.
Gotcha.
All right, let's move on. Paul's very passionate, as you well know, Art. Now, I want to kind of take your thought and kind of move it down the train a couple ways here, Art. If that pass rush is, like you say, a league average pass rush, then maybe Steve Spagnuolo has to create pass rush in different ways, sends a couple blitzes. Now, that in turn puts additional pressure then on the secondary. We all know Prince and Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie are excellent football players. But behind them, slot corner, Tremaine McBride, depth, and then you have the safety position, Art. Is how the rest of that secondary past those top two cornerbacks maybe the most important development this Giants defense is going to have to make over the next 4 or 5 weeks to be ready for Dallas?
Well, you know what? If you're going to tell me that Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie and Prince Mukamara are going to be 100% healthy and ready to go together as a tandem in week one against Dallas, I'll take my chances at what I'm going to get out of the slot position. Tremaine McBride being there. I think Tremaine McBride, you know, the big thing about Tremaine is durability.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the injury, he got nicked up last year with the thumb, and it knocked him out for the season. You know, he was playing pretty well. He was coming into his own in the slot spot. So if you're telling me that Prince and DRC are going to play to their potential, and I heard your last caller before I came on, the idea that Prince and DRC are the top corner is the top corner pair in the division, I would agree with that. And I think you need those two guys to be that for the rest of the secondary to come into its own. And I think that's where I'll be confident in the Giants' chances week one against Dallas. I can't tell you who's going to exactly be the safety combination and will they go two to three safeties, how will they move the linebackers around, who plays in nickel. But if Prince and DRC are playing at their best, I think you can take the time to get your safeties up to speed. I really do. I think this is the kind of league where, you know what, if you're against Dallas and, you know, the Giants envision DRC as a guy who, you know, Dez Bryant is on the field, DRC's following him. You know, that kind of thing, if he can play to that potential, I think it changes the complexion of your secondary. Now, if those guys don't play to that level, I think then you have real issues because then your safety inexperience and maybe a lack of talent, who knows, could really be exposed.
I'm going to add one other thing to this, and that is for all the talk about the starting corners and for all the talk about the safeties, the bottom line is on 3rd and 12, when the nickelback gives up a 14-yard pass for a first down, doesn't matter how good the two safeties are or how good the two corners are, if the nickel corner doesn't hold his water, the Giants are going to pay for it.
Well, and you want to go back, just remember Cole Beasley in the slot against the Giants. They did in the game last year.
That's
when they
it.
Had to put a roll there in emergency, things tend to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, last year's the great experiment of the cornerbacks, and, you know, I was a part of it. The idea of first week of training camp, it was the deepest cornerback group in the league.
Yep.
They're, you know, look at what they've got, DRC, Prince, Walter Thurman, you know, Tremaine McBride, you know, all these guys that, you know, they're top-level players, you know, the top three could be the best in the league. Thurman's making comparisons to, you know, to the Legion of Boom. And then by week three, it was, boy, DRC's not healthy, and, you know, Prince ends up getting hurt shortly thereafter, and Thurman is out, and all of a sudden, you know, the Giants are picking up Shockey Brown off the trash heap, off the street, when the Ravens got rid of him. You know, so, again, Paul is right. It comes down to 11-on-11. The reality is, for a secondary to make plays, they got to get off the field. But you know what? That all it's all a factor. The Cowboys were smoking mirrors on defense last year.
Yep.
Smoking mirrors, and they won the division. You know what? If the Giants can be smoking mirrors on defense and they do the things offensively that they need to be able to do, I think there are a lot of Giants fans who will take it. I think Tom Coughlin will sign up for that and say, you know what? Our defense went from, you know, 29th, 30th in the league to maybe we're 17, 18 now. You know what? If they can make that kind of jump, I think this defense will be, you know, a lot better than people think, or at least we won't be talking about how bad they are week in, week out, giving away games when it's 3rd and 12 and you give up a 14-yard pass play.
Question about the offense for you, Art. We started this show earlier talking about the offensive line, and the fact is you could actually put forth a question about each one of the starting five that we believe are going to be there week one against the Cowboys. How confident are you in the Giants starting five right now as they project them to be?
I'm very confident that the Giants will have an upgrade this season at left guard, at center, and at right guard. I mean, that's the way I'm going into the season. I'm saying, you know what? I think whatever Pugh gives them at left guard is going to be better than what Weston Richburg was able to do at times. Now, there are a lot of reasons for that, and that's not a knock on Weston Richburg, but I'm going to project Pugh as a better left guard than Weston Richburg was. I'm going to project Weston Richburg as a much better center than what J.D. Walton was last year. I mean, it started from the first snap of the game last year against Detroit. J.D. Walton was in the backfield. There was no physicality. As much as people wanted to talk about, you know, internally, that J.D. Walton and the way he handled the offense and you know, the communication aspects, I think Richburg is a far better player than what J.D. Walton is at center. And then at right guard, look, I'm putting my eggs in a Jeff Schwartz basket and saying that Jeff is not going to get bit by the injury bug this year, and he's going to be luckier than he was, and he's an upgrade to what John Jerry was at right guard. As far as the tackles go, I like Eric Flowers, but I have seen nothing yet from Eric Flowers. So it has to be a question mark, but I don't believe the Giants have any other option at left tackle. And at right tackle, I don't think Marshall Newhouse was signed here to be the starting right tackle. I think we all know he wasn't. I think he knows he wasn't. The reality is, until there's another body at right tackle, I think it's kind of a hold-your-breath-and-pray situation at this point at right tackle. So interior line, I have a lot of confidence in. Left tackle, I think you have no choice but to wait and see. And right tackle, I think the phones should be ringing between Jerry Reese and the front offices of everyone else in the league every time a name hits that wire to see, are we better at right tackle? You know, and another option is, I like the interior the way it's projected in my mind, but do you now move, you know, Jeff Schwartz looked pretty good at right tackle for the snaps that he got there last year. Do you put Schwartz at right tackle and put John Jerry at right guard and say, you know what, we'll deal with what we got from Jerry last year, but Schwartz is a better option at right tackle than Newhouse? I don't like that because I like my interior line the way it's set up, but I think, you know, those are my thoughts right now, you know, 3 days before we're out there actually watching them play.
A final question for Art Stapleton of the record. Art, when you get here and you get to camp, they have that first set of drills. What's the number one thing you're going to be watching on the first set of drills on Friday afternoon?
Well, a little bit of a curveball for you, John. I'm going to be looking on the sideline to see who's standing there.
I like it.
Right, wow.
Now, I like it.
Because right now, whatever happens in between the lines is one thing, and we'll be watching it. But the most important questions for the Giants are injury questions. And it's Victor Cruz's knee. It's Odell Beckham Jr.'s hamstring. It's Jeff Schwartz's toe, an ankle. It's John Beeson's foot. It's all the way down the line, you know, what are those guys doing? Who's on the side? Who is not involved as much as maybe you'd hope? You know, DeMontre Moore's shoulder, is he out there with the first team and second team? You know, how's Robert Ayers look? So I'm watching those drills, but in the back of my mind I'm thinking, you know what, we can get to week three in the preseason and really start assessing what these guys are doing with pads on. I'm looking over to the training side, the training area, and I'm saying if Victor Cruz is still running with a trainer, I'm a little concerned. If Odell Beckham's running with the trainers, I'm a lot concerned. So that's where my mind goes. Right off the bat come Friday, I want to see who's on the field, who's in uppers, ready to go, you know, running around in shorts. The reality is who's over there with the trainers not cleared to 100% practice yet.
Art, great stuff. We appreciate the time. We'll see you in a few days, my friend, and we'll have the whole gang back together again.
Sounds good.
We'll see you, Art. Take care.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Art. Art Stapleton from The Record does a fantastic job covering the Giants, and great stuff. But I guarantee you one guy you will see on the sideline on Thursday and Friday.
Yeah. They won't let me on the field. And that's a good move by Tom.
And for your long-term health, by the way.
Exactly. Totally agree with that.
And I think he makes a good point. I think that is the first thing everyone's going to look for. It's a good answer.
And that is a really good answer, too, because the way things have gone around here the last two seasons, John, I mean, that has been the biggest factor for the Giants not being a playoff team.
And again, injuries in camp can change to the regular season, obviously, but how about you start strong? And, you know, you want to keep as many guys off that list as possible. All right, we got two calls on the line. We'll try to squeeze in anybody else if you want to get in before we wrap up at 1 o'clock here. Ron in Virginia Beach has been holding the longest. Ron, you're up next. What's going on, pal?
Hey, John. Hey, P-Dot.
Hey, Ron. What's up, man?
Yeah, I'm supposed to be. I'm trying to come up on Saturday, man. Bring my kids out for training camp, and what's a good time? I see it starts at 2:30. Should I get there like earlier or what?
Well, hold on a second. Now, you want to make sure if you're going to do that before the preseason starts, because once they start playing preseason games, I think they got some Saturdays off.
He said he wants to come up this Saturday.
Oh, this Saturday.
This Saturday, right?
I'm sorry. I thought you said a Saturday.
If practice starts at 2:30, you know, that's a really good question. I bet you there'll be stuff to do about an hour before practice, right? I don't think you have to get here much more than an hour before practice. I think that'd probably be a little bit of overkill.
Yeah.
But I would say if you're here by like 1 or 1:30 for the 2:30 practice, you'll be in great shape.
And remember something, it's going to be really hot.
Oh, is the first week it's supposed to be a warm one?
They're talking all week it's going to be like 90s.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh, you know who's not going to be happy about that? All the players.
Hey, but T-Dad, I want you to be nice to my son, man. I know you don't like tweeners. He's a 50-pound defensive end. So
that's okay.
I know you don't like tweeners.
Look, you got time to fatten him up.
So he was guaranteeing, Art was guaranteeing that JPP will be there. Is that what I heard?
He said he believes he will be on the field in uniform on October 4th against the Bills, and he believes that at some point after the Bengal game, the Giants and JPP's representatives will get together and figure out a long-term plan. Again, that's just Art's best guess.
Oh, wow.
I think he's being very optimistic, but who knows?
All right, guys. Well, that's all I had. I hope to see y'all this weekend, man. I've been listening for a long time. First time calling in.
Hey, appreciate it.
Glad to have you aboard.
You're going to see a very shining tan man on the sideline. Give him a shout. Paul will come over, and he'll shake your hand, and it'll make your day.
Hey, just remember, and by the way, just remember, seriously, check in the morning, make sure it's not raining.
Right.
Because when it rains, Tom's got to move them inside the field house, and then there's no public practice.
Yeah, and if you want to have all the details of what's going on at practice and everything, go to Giants.com. All the details of what's available for the kids and all that sort of stuff is on the website, all right?
Awesome.
All right, thanks, my man. Be good. Our buddy Shakes is in Baltimore, Maryland. I think we're going to see Shakes down at practice a couple times this year, too, aren't we, buddy?
Yeah, I'll see me up there.
All right. What do you got?
Looking forward to seeing y'all. I have a lot to talk about real quick.
Bring it.
I'm trying to squeeze them all in.
That's all right.
Now, you was talking about the defensive backs, really the safeties.
Yes, sir.
Now, my thing is, I like the safeties, but Landon Collins and Nat Burhe are more guys that they're the tacklers. They to the box. So we're going to need that coverage guy. And this the guy from Baltimore that we just picked up. I think he can probably provide that help. Or the kid, Mikal Thompson, I believe, the the rookie.
I think asking Thompson to do that very quickly, Shakes, I think might be asking a little bit too much. I think maybe down the road, halfway through the season, when he gets a little more experience, maybe he'll be ready. I think off the bat, you're asking a little bit much. The veteran you mentioned that they brought in, Miles, I think he's a guy that can certainly help in that area, as can Josh Gordy, who's around. So I think both those guys could be of help in that area as an experienced veteran back there that you can trust to do what needs to be done.
Shakes, he's a young guy, but I'm intrigued still by Bennett Jackson.
Yeah, you know what? That is an interesting name that not a lot of people have mentioned. What else you got, Shakes?
Okay. No, I just think that that third safety is going to be important, and they have to be able to cover, because both of our projected starting safeties are going to be the tacklers. So. Also, I was listening to you compare the Cowboys and the Giants defenses, and it's a lot of comparables with it, because if you think about it, the Giants could be a top defense if Beeson stays healthy all year. So as long as the Cowboys, if Lee stays healthy.
And you know what? Both guys probably won't get their best pass rushers on the field until a few games into the season, too. So, yeah, you know what? You make a fair point. And both teams' safeties, you know, you wonder. I think the Giants are much better off at cornerback. I think the Cowboys are slightly better off at safety. McClain suspended now. Sean Lee and Beeson are comparable. You know what? Yep. I think, Shakes, I think you make a good point. I think there are a lot of comparisons. But, again, I think a big difference, though, the Giants have those two starting corners, and I'll take Prince and Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie over any corner on the Cowboys roster right now.
I'll take that too. But also another comparable is Randy Gregory and Double O, both rookies. Different, might have some time in there.
Different and, type of players, but I think they'll both take some time to develop. I agree.
No doubt. And the thing about the defensive backs for both teams is they have question marks. Now, you say, of course, we had the two starting cornerbacks, but we don't know what we have after that because McBride, you know, he's health concerns and all that, his issues, and then we don't have much to rely on after that because we don't know too much about the other guys behind that. So, and then you look at Cowboys DBs, and it's kind of like the same thing. So it's a lot of comparables. And my last thing I wanted to say is Kennard. I had brought this up to Lance, I believe, Thursday. And Kennard. Now, I wanted to know what y'all think, how high his ceiling is, because when I start to think about, you know, positions, and I grade them out, and I give them just a grade A linebacker, just a grade B, and I got Luke Kuechly, a grade A linebacker.
Yeah.
Beeson now, you know, before Beeson was a grade A linebacker early in his career, but now he's a B-graded linebacker. So my thing is, where do y'all see Kennard ending up? How high do y'all see his ceiling?
How long you been watching the Giants, Shakes?
Since 1990.
Okay, so this is going to be a little bit before your time. I see him as Byron Hunt. You know who that is?
No, I don't.
Okay, Byron was one of the Giants linebackers who played during the LT era. He was a backup who, you know, had trouble getting on the field because of the guys who they had here. They had Van Pelt, and then they had LT, and then they had Carl Banks.
Pepper Johnson, they had, all those guys.
But Byron was one of those guys. There was Andy Hedden, and there was Byron Hunt. And they were the two backup outside linebackers that really could have started for most teams in this league. But they didn't get a ton of starting opportunities because of the way the Giants had the depth. I think Kennard is another Byron Hunt.
And I will say this, Shakes. I would not be surprised if he stays healthy and meets his full potential. I think Kennard could be a Pro Bowl player at some point during the course of his career.
That's encouraging.
Now, I'm not saying, I'm not saying he's going to be Luke Kuechly now, but I think he's a guy that can flash a couple years here and there where he'll put up the numbers, especially since the Giants will blitz him a lot. And remember, guys that vote for the Pro Bowl, what do they love? They love numbers. And you don't get many linebackers, especially in the 4-3, that put up sack numbers. And I think Kennard will put up some numbers in that regard, which could get him a couple of Pro Bowl bids over the course of his career. Again, if he stays healthy. Remember, he had some injuries last year. He had some injuries at USC during his career. So that's something you have to keep an eye on with Kennard as well.
No doubt. And thank y'all for taking my call. And I should see y'all at camp.
Don't be a stranger. Shakes, now, do you know when you're going to be at camp yet?
No, I'll let y'all know.
Okay, because once you know, I'm going to talk to some people. I'm going to talk to our PR staff here, talk to our community relations and marketing folks. We're going to have some signs made, maybe a couple statues ready, some like a band that like will be ready to play on your arrival. I'll try to get all this stuff set up for you, right?
I need an intro, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe you like know? A blue carpet to roll out to the field.
Smoke machines, maybe some fire coming out of the tubes. It'll be great.
That's right. I made it.
All right, Shakes. Be good, then. All right, we got to be real quick. Jim in Alabama's been holding. I want to make sure we get him in real fast, Jim. What's going on?
Okay, prediction. DeMarco Murray will not rush for 1,000 yards. His rushing was mostly behind the Cowboys line, and the Cowboys will have a 1,000-yard rusher this
year. All right,
year.
Jim, real quick, second question. How many games will DeMarco Murray play in for Philadelphia this year because of his injury history?
11. He's going to miss one-third of the games. He's going to get beat up a lot more without as good an offensive line behind him.
That would not shock me. What else you got?
All right. Making the 53, one of the things the Giants are asking is who can they squeeze onto the practice squad?
Okay.
They want to keep him on the team. The practice squad's really not really about practice so much as who can I keep and extend my roster, give me depth.
And stash,
I'm going to throw out some names. I'm going to throw out some names, and I'll see if you guys think they're players that we could squeeze onto the practice squad that would clear waivers.
Okay.
Here we go. Corey Washington.
No.
Cooper Taylor.
Yes.
Orleans Darkwa.
Yes.
Kerry Wynn.
No.
Bennett Jackson.
Yes.
Brett Jones.
Yes, but I'm not sure. I got to check the eligibility of Darkwa. I'm not sure how many games he's playing, if he's practice squad eligible or not.
I thought he was.
He might be. He might be.
No,
honestly, I'm not sure. I got to check it. Thanks, Jim. Now, Paul,
I don't know if Cooper Taylor is. This is his third season.
But he hasn't played any games.
I know. He's had two NFL injury plague seasons. I'm not sure if he qualifies.
I don't know either. All right, thank you, Jim. Appreciate the call, man. Dave, we can lose him, please. Thank you. Do you agree with my assessment on those guys?
Yeah, but, you know, I thought some of the names he threw out were foolish.
Yeah,
I
mean, Kerry Wynn's not going to go.
That's a crazy
and
name to throw out.
I'm not even sure Corey Washington's eligible. I mean, he was active for 13 games last year, right?
I mean, that's, yeah.
No, so again, he can get on with the exceptions that they have for the practice squad.
They added those two exceptions
last year.
So.
But I don't think.
I mean, why would you even think about it as a practice squad? You know, I think it's a more legitimate question when you're asking about – you know, is it possible that that Davis is going to go there? Is it possible that Thompson is going to go there? You know, those are legitimate questions. You start throwing Kerry Wynn into that conversation, you lose me. I mean, Kerry Wynn's a bona fide player.
You can ask questions. It's all right. I don't know if questions have to meet your approval, Paul. I thought he had some good names in there.
He had a few good names in there. I won't disagree with you. But he had a couple that just didn't make sense.
He got a little greedy with those names.
He got definitely greedy.
It's okay. Well, this is the time of the year to be greedy. You're supposed to be greedy.
If you're trying to sneak Kerry Wynn onto the practice squad, which, again, is not going to happen, well, then, without JPP here, that leaves you with four defensive ends.
In fact, one of the reasons the Giants kept Kerry Wynn on the active roster last year is because they didn't think they would be able to get him through to the practice squad.
They were sure he was going to get taken.
In fact, they pretty much knew that both him and Quarles would get claimed. Quarles got claimed.
Yes.
And they knew Wynn would as well, which is why they kept him on the active roster.
And that's why Adonijé got cut.
See, this is how you know we're getting close to camp. We're already going over on time. All right, tomorrow, I believe it is Anita and Lance tomorrow from the
No, I'm here tomorrow.
Oh, you're here with Anita.
I'm back tomorrow.
And then me and Lance on Wednesday, and then you and, I believe, Anita on Thursday? Does that sound right? No, you and Lance on Thursday?
I don't know.
Whatever. We're here the rest of the week. And then on Friday, by the way, we're going to start with our new times. So keep that in mind. Friday, our first show is going to be a little bit later in the day because we have media availabilities from 11:15 to 12:15. So for the next, I would say, about 2-plus weeks until we get to Cincinnati, and until we get back from Cincinnati, the show will be from 12:30 to 1:30 to accommodate a media availability. So keep that in mind. Starting Friday, we're 12:30 to 1:30. And then when we get back from Cincinnati, we have evening practices, so we're going to have to move the show time again, just a half an hour here or there. We'll have those details as they emerge. But again, on Friday, 12:30 to 1:30, it'll be that way for about 2 weeks to accommodate practice and media availability with players. Paul, we'll see you on Wednesday.
You got it.
For Paul, I'm Schmelk. We'll see you next time. Thanks for joining us.
All right, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.